Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome everyone to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. I'm Austin.
And I'm BJ.
And this week we are going to be talking about Dragon Quest 3DS games that you have to play. You can play in English with a hacked 3DS, because after talking about it for like the last 5 years,
probably
4 years, long time, BJ actually finally did the whole thing. So I'll let you tell people about it, because I actually don't know a lot of this story myself.
There's not much of a story to it. it's not like a great journey or anything like that. I was the eShop closing down is really what made me decide to do it. That I just got like frustrated that I wouldn't be able to download like any kind of new content or anything like that. And so I saw online somewhere that you could just apply patches directly on a hacked 3DS, like English patches to even a cart that you had that you could insert. So if you just put in like the Rocket Slime 3 cart, if you had the patch on your 3DS, you could patch the cartridge and play it in English. And so that really got me thinking about it. And I looked at the instructions on how to do it, and I'd done my Vita first, and the Vita was really simple to get going and everything, to get it hacked and put the homebrew on it. And when I looked at the 3DS, it was even simpler. I'm like, I can do this. And apparently the way that you do it, the method that you use to go to these websites, and you hook it up to your, I say hook it up, but with quotes, like you use the SD card and just insert it in your computer and like replace these files, like core 3DS files, using the SD card. And then it's basically you just restarting your 3DS over and over again as the instructions tell you to. Like, it's apparently an idiot-proof way to do it.
I started to say, you called it idiot-proof when you were telling me about it, which I felt like was a dig towards me, because I don't want to do it. I was like, I'm going to mess it up. And you're like, it's idiot-proof.
No, apparently the reason I say that is that from everything that I've read, the method that they have right now on like 3ds.hacks.guide, I think is the one that is officially the best one. It's the one that I used. Apparently it can't brick your system if you follow the instructions. Like, if you just do what it says and you put in like your model number and everything, what it gives you can't brick the 3DS systems, because there's always a way to revert it to your old firmware using safe mode. So it's really cool. But I did find out, like, we were talking about doing your 2DS, your Japanese 2DS.
Oh, I'm not doing that one. There's no way.
That's what I was going to say. Like, it's not as good to do. Like, you can switch regions on it, but the only way that you can like switch languages on there is by actually going in and changing the firmware to a different region. And then that actually messes up some saves and different kinds of like, digital like hardwired in locks on it, so you can't like access even updates and things like that you would normally be able to through the eShop. Like, if you like all the stuff that you've downloaded on the Japanese eShop, you wouldn't be able to access any of that anymore, and there's a really good chance you wouldn't be able to access even the updates and downloads from the US, the North American eShop. So it's not worth doing, apparently, on a, just to be able to hack and get a Japanese 2DS in English, is not worth doing. But it is, so far, absolutely worth doing for the US 3DS I have. like I bought, they have 128 gig micro SD cards on Amazon for $12 now. And so I was able to, so to do it, like to change memory cards, you literally just drag the contents of one to the other one. Like, and you can swap it out, all the save games and like installed games and everything on there. Like it's really, really, really easy. And so I didn't believe people when they said how easy it was, because it was me sitting at my computer between editing articles where I just had my 3DS with the back open, the back case off, where I could see the battery and get to the SD card. And it was just like, yep, pull this out, put it in the adapter. Yep, hold these buttons to go to safe mode. Put this file on.
Yeah.
Put it back in the 3DS. Press the power button. Okay, it shows this. Take this SD card out. Put it back in the computer. Change this file.
The rest of this episode is just BJ step by step. Yep.
And I mean, but I mean, that's all it is. Like, there's not any kind of technical knowledge on it. It's literally dragging files onto an SD card or dragging them off and restarting your 3DS. Like, it's super simple. And I'm really glad that I did it, because I've been having a lot of fun with my 3DS lately because of that. Because there were Japanese Dragon Quest games that I didn't know existed because of the way that I misunderstood like how they were released. Like, you and I have talked about the Terry's Wonderland Japanese eShop game on the Switch, and it's just a port of the Game Boy game, right? And so I thought that the 3DS Dragon Quest Monsters remakes were just, or games, I guess, were just ports like that one to the Switch. But they're not. They are full 3D remakes of Dragon Quest Monsters 1 and 2, and they combine Terra and Kobe, the separate carts, into one game on the 3DS and the Japanese version. And there are English translations for those that are very good. Same for like Dragon Quest Joker 3. The translation on it seems to be really good so far.
Yeah, I remember you were talking. We were talking about Terry's Wonderland, because you were like, "Dude, this one on 3DS is just like a remake or something." And I was like, "Yeah, I've got that one. Like, it's sitting back there on my bookcase, but I haven't gotten around to, like, you know, diving into it or anything."
Yeah, and I thought that 100% that it was a port of the Game Boy game, like the Switch one was. Like, I somehow this entire time have missed that they were actually 3D versions of them, but they make me mad because they're like Dragon Quest VIII and they don't actually take advantage of the stereoscopic 3D. The only one of them that really does, well, two of them do, Rocket Slime 3 and Joker 3. Those have 3D and they're really pretty because of it, but Terry's Wonderland doesn't, which, I mean, if you're playing on a 2DS, it doesn't matter. But if you're like me with the 3DS and you actually like the 3D part of it, that was why I actually got switched out my 2DS to a 3DS. It's a disappointment, because the Dragon Quest games are really pretty in 3D. Like, the cartoony graphics and the cel shading, like in Joker 3, is really, really pretty in the 3D.
Yeah, Joker 3 is the one that I'm very jealous of right now, you getting to play, because it looks really pretty. I've always loved the art style for it, and even though I, let's be honest, hated the first Joker game, and I enjoyed Joker 2 pretty well, but like even considering all that, like, Joker 3 just looks so, like,
it's
clean,
so
I guess.
Pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, I would like to play that one. So I'm glad you're getting to play it. At least one of us is.
I'll make sure to bring my 3DS when I come visit, so that you can at least play it if you don't hack one of yours before then. But yeah, it's really, really interesting. And I will say, though, the Dragon Quest the Joker 3 is the most frustrating of the translations, because they didn't translate everything. And I don't know if there's a specific reason for it, but the patch that I got for it doesn't have all the menus and like messages that are translated. So it's like you'll get these tutorial messages that basically instruct you how to use skill points with your monsters, and they're still in Japanese. And I'm like, this seems like something that would have been nice to have in English. So I went to Google Translate, did the image thing, and sure enough, it was how I thought it worked. But it was like, you translate the story and you translate all of this stuff, but it's like, you don't put in the tutorials. And it was just an odd choice. Maybe it was a coding thing. Maybe it was some way that it was a real pain to swap out the characters. I don't know. But it was a little bit weird to not have like all of the tutorials and messaging in English as well. But yeah, it's really, really cool. I've played a lot of the Fire Emblem games. I've got a lot of Fire Emblem games on there now that I couldn't play before because they've never been released in English. Like, mm-hmm. That's what I like this kind of homebrew thing for, is because of that.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think I would, I don't know, I might go for it sometime. Or just play it on yours.
And there's a way for the if you like just regular DS games, like there is a way now that I got, it's a flash card that I put an SD card in and can just straight up play DS games off of it, like there without any kind of emulator or anything at all. It's just like they're running off the cart. So I've been able to do that some. It's been fun. Be able to get some of the actually just a way to carry around some of the games that I like, have a stack of DS games, actual just regular DS games by my computer, and now I have them on one flash cart where, yeah, I can play like Magical Star Sign and Final Fantasy 12 Revenant Wings, stuff like that, without having to constantly swap carts in and out.
Yeah, without having to, like, I'm picturing you in like your big cargo pants and you've just got like a ton of like DS games in your cargo pants pockets.
Yep.
Right,
yep,
there. And you're like whipping them out.
It's like, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Cause I just, I just like Scrooge McDuck has like just coins like all the time that he can pick up and just throw out. That's me in 3D, those regular DS cartridges, just pull out handfuls of them.
I was thinking like Ninja Stars where you're just like, yeah.
Just make it rain. 3DS,
yeah,
or regular 3DS, regular DS carts.
For people who maybe haven't done this before, don't know that much about it. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but just to clarify here, in order to play these games, you just download the file onto your 3DS, or do you actually have to own like an original copy of the game and then install a patch onto the game?
In the spirit of not breaking the law, you can just straight up play it off the cart on your 3DS. Like if you put in the Rocket Slime cart that I bought you, and I could, like, one of the menu items, I just go over to the patch, like whatever the Rocket Slime 3 patcher thing they had that I installed, and it just applies the patch to the cart and you can just play it, because it region breaks any of the 3DSs. So like if you have a Japanese cartridge, you can just play that on the American one, and if you have the English patch, you can just apply it without having to download anything else to your 3DS. That's just through the SD card.
Okay, cool. Yeah, like and I know not on here, but just like, you know, like texting or whatever, we talked about how it would be really fun to hear like your experience with Slime Mori Mori 3 since you're playing in English versus mine.
Did I send you the worst review I've ever read of anything? Where
you did. You did. Yeah.
There is a post on Reddit, and I apologize if you're listening to this person who wrote this. I played Slime Mori Mori 3, so you don't have to. I don't recommend it, person, but you're wrong, and you're the most nitpicky person I've ever read a review of, and stop it. Like that's all I can say. Like, it is seriously the most petty review of anything I've ever read. Talking about
that person point. That person is listening and is like, oh, you think that's petty, and is just getting ready to.
Oh, I'm sure. If I had a Yelp page, I'd be getting Yelp bombed.
Oh yeah, I'm sure this podcast, even like, we're gonna wake up like the next day and we're gonna have a 1-star review that's very nitpicky of us too.
So I'm absolutely certain. it's the internet, of course it is. But like it's a really pretty game. and you're playing on a 2DS, and so I actually feel like it's prettier on the 3DS because I don't know if you can tell as much on.
It's beautiful. I think it's beautiful on the 2DS.
Can you see that it is 2D sprites laid over as much on 3D like polygonal backgrounds? Because it the way that they do it on the 3D, it makes them look almost like a pop-up book running around. Oh, where no, it's that, really cool looking.
That like is that is lost, yeah, on the 2DS. I have not gotten that pop-up
like
look feel
it's,
at all.
It's really, really cool. And I gotta say, like that is probably my favorite thing about it so
like,
far.
Pop-up book kind of like Octopath Traveler.
Kind of yeah.
Yeah.
Except much more colorful and not headache inducing.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not all washed out. Yeah,
but yeah, like kind of like that, where the way that it stands out against the background isn't a like distraction, but more of just you can see the depth behind it, and it's kind of going along. Like it's just really cool. Like it's really, really pretty, and the sprites are very good. I haven't gotten terribly far in it yet, just because of, you know, playing around with all of these different games here and there. But like I like it so far. I like, and the translation team on that one did a really, really good job on Slime War and Mori 3.
Cool. And
they included jokes and puns, so I got to give them that. Sometimes that doesn't come across, and that I appreciate y'all.
Yeah, and also I was just going to shout out those people did an episode with Dragon Quest Slime Time, the people who translated.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Slime Mori Mori 3. So go check that out too. But yeah, for the Slime Mori Mori 3 stuff, I'm curious as you get further into it, like just how your playthrough is, because with me,
yeah,
I'm, you know, stubborn, sticking with it in Japanese, just finding my own way. But I think I mentioned this on the podcast. I know I definitely told you like a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that I had gotten lost. I wasn't sure where to go next, that I'm at, I feel like I'm at the very end of the game, but I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go. And I'm kind of just stuck. I still am. I'm kind of lost, and I need to look up. I need to find probably like a guide. I'm sure there's a Slime Mori Mori walkthrough online.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like on GameFAQs, if nothing else. I mean, I haven't searched for it yet, but I think it's going to come down to that. Because I've poked around a few times and then just got really distracted with other games, you know, like I was playing Final Fantasy V there for a while. And then lately I was playing Honkai Star Rail before that. And then right now I'm playing Trinity Trigger on PS5.
Yeah. For some reason, I thought that you had beaten that already.
No, I haven't beaten it. It's a pretty short game for anybody listening. I know this is a tangent, who is like interested in checking out Trinity Trigger. Like, I really like it, and, you know, full disclosure, I was, like, sent a copy of the game, so I didn't have to pay for it. I don't know if it's worth $60, because it's super short. It is a super short RPG.
Right.
I feel like if I spent $60 on it, even though the day one edition comes with, like, an art book and a soundtrack and lots of cool stuff, I feel like that, like, a 15-hour game might not, like, justify the whole price there.
Yeah.
It feels a lot like Ni No Kuni to me, but, like, not as good. It's like... It's like if somebody kind of like put in it, like there's a lot of weapon customization. There's little creatures that come with you. There's crafting. The way the world is set up, it feels a lot like a level 5 game, even though the names attached to the projects are like for Xenoblade and Pokemon and things.
Yeah.
So like there's some cool things. It's got some really nice like bona fides attached to the game. It's just that the game itself, like the only complaint I really have is it looks kind of like an old school mana game.
It's
feels
really pretty.
Like, you know, Ni No Kuni, and the AI is terrible. The AI for the other two characters in your party, like if you're not actively switching to them to switch out their weapons because of an enemy weakness, mm-hmm. or using stuff because of the way it's limited for what items they can use. Like you have to manually go in and improve them for only one item under a certain category. It's very, it's kind of like, and it's to add to the, it's to make it more challenging because it's kind of like a dungeon crawler. And so it is to make it more challenging, but at the same time, it's frustrating. And like the AI, I don't think, like, to me, and I know to you, like, when we talk about terrible AI party members, like Donald Duck in Kingdom Hearts is probably like the worst of the worst. Mm-hmm. And I think they may be worse in this game. Like, they just don't really, they're constantly standing in AoEs. They can't get out of the way for anything. They're not programmed to, like, if there's spikes in the floor, they won't just, they follow behind you, you know, and they're like triggered by, it's just AI making them run behind you. But like the AI is not smart enough to be like, hey, walk around the spikes in the floor. They just like take up, they just like run through stuff constantly. And so that's really frustrating. I do feel like the AI in the game is terrible, but I've been having a good time with it. And I'm very close to the end right now. I'm close to the end, and I've gotten like just enough trophies in it that I'm debating about whether I want to platinum it or not, because I think it's a pretty easy platinum if you've got the time for it. So anyway, that's my whole spiel on Trinity Trigger. But all of that was to say that because of that and because of being stuck in Slime Mori Mori 3, I haven't gone back to actually beat it yet. And it really pains me because I'm like right there at the end, and I have to assume, again, assume being the key word here, that all I have to really do is go down and find the Platypunk pirate, Captain Morgan. I don't know what his name is, but he looks like Captain Morgan as a Platypunk. I need to go find him and, you know, take him down. And then I think that would be the end. Like, I think that's where I'm at. And I've just got to do it. And I know people listening are like, Austin, this is your own fault. You're playing in a language you don't understand.
It's true.
And I know it's my fault. But anyway, that's where we're at right now. this is what it's come down to.
It's like, it is what it is.
It is what it is. That's true. Yeah, for sure. So I don't know. So I'm very interested to hear like from your take of it, because I want to hear about the puns and kind of the silliness, because that part really gets lost because I don't pick up on the puns because I don't know the language. Like there's some hilarious things happening because I don't understand the language. Like in one of these weeks we talked about cabbages. and so it's like, there's things like that where it's like, it's funny just because I'm a mess, but I miss out on the humor that a lot of the Dragon Quest games have. And, you know, I got that with DQ10 as well, even though there's some cinematics and like cutscenes that I was just using context clues on that made them funny. I still like, there's just not, I don't know if anybody out there really takes it for granted about how much like puns and humor are in Dragon Quest, but if they do take it for granted, like please don't, because that's such like a key element to Dragon Quest games. Right. And my one quibble, to borrow one of your words, with playing these in Japanese is just that a lot of that DQ humor is totally lost on me, especially in a game like Slime Mori Mori 3, where there's not all these very like coordinated cutscenes that are playing out in front of me and everything. It's not like DQ10 cutscenes. Whenever there's a Slime Mori Mori 3 cutscene, it's not on the same level as Dragon Quest 10. So I don't know. I'm very eager. So you did Slime Mori Mori 3. You did Joker 3.
Right.
At Terry's Wonderland. I felt like there was another one.
And the Terra and Kobe Dragon Quest Monsters 2. Like, I started those, but I've not played much of the Monsters games at all.
Gotcha. Okay. I was thinking there was another one that you had told me you were getting, but maybe not.
Dragon Quest?
Yeah, I may be thinking about you talking about Builders on the Vita, because I know
you're... Yeah, because I've got Builders on the Vita now to give a shot, so...
Yeah, maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, you can, and the thing is, it's really cool. Like, they shut down the Vita store basically, but if you have PlayStation credit on your PSN account, like you can add it through a PS4 or PS5, you can still buy PS3 and Vita games using that on their native stores. So if you have a PS3 game or a Vita game that you want, you can still go on and buy it. You just can't buy it, like add money through those platforms anymore.
Gotcha.
So I was able to get some of the ones that I've been wanting to play on there, because I thought that they were completely out of reach anymore, because the the Vita physical copy of Dragon Quest Builders is absurdly expensive.
Yes, it is. I haven't looked at it lately, but I know whenever I was looking into trying to get a Vita and Dragon Quest Builders for Vita, that it was already expensive. And that was like three or four years ago before the bubble really expanded.
Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't burst, but, you know, it got bigger. How much is it now?
Last I saw, it was like $150 to $200, I think.
Oh, okay. Just for the game.
Just for the game, yeah.
Yeah. That's dumb, but also not as bad as I thought it could be.
Now, the Dragon Quest... Oh, that's actually cheaper. The Dragon Quest Metal Slime Vita itself, the Japanese
edition. That's
the one
I wanted.
I want it so much. Dragon Quest Builders is about $149, from what I can see. The Japanese versions are obviously cheaper, but the English versions, because, you know, English. you can get the Vita, the Japanese Vita, right now for $264. But it's a Japanese one, but you can get it. I keep eyeing it and looking at it and wanting it, but I'm like, I can't justify that cost.
Yeah.
The Metal Slime one's so pretty, though.
It does look really pretty. Yeah, I do like that one.
But yeah, the Builders ones are about $129 to $150, it looks like.
So is there, for 3DS Japanese Dragon Quest games, is there one for Theatrhythm?
Yes, there is. I have not... I don't know if it's Dragon Quest. I think it's a Final Fantasy one.
Oh, well, that's weird. Those are in English.
That there's a different one that I saw that was like an English patch.
I thought all the Theatrhythm Final Fantasy games were in English now.
I don't have the 3DS on me right now. It's in the other room where Jennifer's working out, but yeah, it's there was some kind of Theatrhythm game on there.
Yeah, it's got to be Dragon Quest. I mean, that's the only one I think that's still in just Japan only. And
it might be the Vita that I'm thinking of with like the... I know it had Itadaki Street and Fortune Street and stuff.
Going to play Theatrhythm DQ? Because I know you really hated the Final Fantasy.
No, I hated the Final Fantasy one, so I'm not going to even try. It's like I'm not a rhythm game person, so I'm not even going to give it a shot. Like, I don't... I know I would bounce off of it. That's a waste of my time.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I get it. You're not a rhythm game person. As someone who has kicked your butt in Guitar Hero before.
I have no rhythm. I've got nothing.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. I really like it. I think the Theatrhythm game you played, though, I will say I think it might be my least favorite.
Oh, really?
The rhythm game. Yeah, I was just like, there was just like too much and it was all too samey.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're talking about this last one that came out. Can't remember the name of it, the full name of it, but Final Fantasy Theatrhythm that came out on like Switch, PS4. That's the one we're talking about.
Yep, that's the one I tried. Yeah, the demo of whatever it is.
I liked it. It was just like, it seemed like they really went for quantity and there was a lot of songs that I'm just like, like One Winged Angel. I'm like, yes, this is an iconic song that like pretty much everybody on the planet loves, but I also don't need like all these different versions of it that really don't sound all that differently. And that's like an extreme example. Like there's less iconic music that's like repeated. And it was just kind of like, I appreciate them including like these hundreds of songs, but at the same time, I didn't need all of it. Like I didn't need that.
Maybe. I get it.
Yeah, and so I think that was kind of my thing too. But I like Theatrhythm games, and I really enjoyed Theatrhythm Dragon Quest. But that's why I was wondering if there was an English version of that one available, just for anybody listening who might want to get it. But also because that's the one out of any of these that I feel like even if you don't know Japanese, you can easily just pick it up in Japanese and play it because you know how to time your button presses and to drag when you gotta drag it and stuff like that. I mean, it's not like super difficult. So cool. Fun.
Yeah.
Good times. What about Dragon Quest 11? Is the 3DS version. Is there an English patch for that?
There's an English patch for it. If there is, I haven't been able to find one because I was looking for it and I've not seen anything regarding it in English.
Yeah, I've never heard of there being one. It seems like that would be like big news if there were.
Yeah.
But also, I'm just thinking about how much you and I both love the 3DS 3D.
Yeah.
Sprites and like the Yoshi Village stuff.
But that, yeah, I
think you were down here with me when mm-hmm. I was playing through that stuff. Yeah. And so it's like, I know we really liked that and liked the style, but you had to go back home and I just kind of, I don't want to say suffered, powered through it
yeah.
longer in Japanese and everything after you had gone too. So an English patch of that would be cool, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I've looked to see if there's one, because you can get Dragon Quest XI for the 3DS relatively cheap. But again, I don't want to power through it in Japanese. I want to play it in English, but I do think it's a really cool version. And so if y'all are translating things out there and want to get a ROM hack of that one, would appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, I think for me it wasn't such a big deal because it was coming off of beating 11. So I'd already, right. like, I knew where stuff was. And I honestly can't remember if this was after I beat Vanilla 11 or if it was after 11S had already come out. So I'd already beaten like a couple of versions of it. I feel like it was only after Vanilla 11. But either way, it was a game that was still fresh on my mind. And that made it much easier because it was like, oh, yeah, I remember. I have to go talk to stupid Gemma in the village right now. And just stuff like that, you know, where I knew where to go. So I think,
why don't you tell me how you really feel?
She's just so boring to me. Yeah. I know there are people out there who like her, but I'm just like, she's just such a dull, like stand in for like your childhood friend. Mm. Like if I were friends with her, I would get bored with her immediately. I'd be like, sorry, my mom says we can't hang out anymore.
Wow. That's just cold.
Yeah, it is cold. And especially, I mean, we're in a very small village, so she would see me all the time.
Yeah, it's true. Be like, hey, Austin. Be like, I can't talk to you, Jim.
Yeah.
I'll get grounded.
Yeah. Don't talk to me. I'm the dog spawn.
You sure are.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. Next week, we're going to be talking about our DQ Day predictions. That's always a fun one,
yep.
Even if we are always left sad after the fact.
That's true.
Remember, you can talk to us on Twitter at DragonQuestFM, and we also have a Patreon page, and you can find that at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM.
You can find me on Twitter at Professor Beej. We're on Discord at discord.geektogeekmedia.com, and go to our Patreon at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM, like Austin said.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.